Not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Clubhouse on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com. We are live at the Hub in Hotel MTK, Mount Kisco, New York. I'm Rob Adams. Sitting alongside of me, my partner of 1.4 billion years, Mark Jeffers, all the way back to when you started this show, when the Earth was still cooling.
You know, it was Raquel Welch and I from her BC movie. Do you remember that? It was just her and I.
I
know. And that was there. It was the two of us. It was kind of special.
Ooh.
There you go. I got to tell you something, Rob. Tonight's show, extra special. So many guests. So much fun. But I want to know that tonight's show is presented by Vintage Sports and Hanratty's Huddle. And speaking of which, this is my new transition. I'm learning. I'm transitioning vintagely to Mr. Dave Ciromio.
Thank you, Mark. And somehow I feel old by you calling me vintage, but...
But you are vintage. Like a wine.
You
get better with age.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
So how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm okay.
Good.
And there's a guy that's sitting next to you.
Oh, legend.
Back when the Earth was cooling.
Before.
It was right after Raquel Welch and I. Actually, almost... And I wrote this... For an hour and a half today, so it took me almost 22 years ago, our first guest came up with this crazy idea for a local sports radio program with national ties, and the Clubhouse was born. It was with great pleasure that I welcome back Mr. Brian Kroll, the general manager at Bally's Golf Links at Prairie Point, PGA Master Professional, Sirius XM PGA Tour radio host, CBS Sports Masters on the Rage co-host, author of numerous books, which... I have actually read. Brian, welcome back to the Clubhouse.
Well, thank you, Mark. What a pleasure. What a great intro. That was more than you needed to
do. Did you write that for him?
No, I did.
Too many big words for Mark.
I think he missed some stuff, though.
And by the way, that's all I have time for tonight, so thank you again for
stopping by.
No, this is a treat for me to come back to the Clubhouse, and it has a lot of meaning to me, and this show was... A passion project of ours way back in the day, and to see you guys doing what you do week in and week out. You're taking such good care of it, so thank you for doing all you do for the Clubhouse.
Brian, you can show up with little bottles to hand me. You can say whatever you want. I am overjoyed with what is in my hand at the moment.
For all those of you who can't see what is in his hand,
it is a very beautiful
bottle of American Brick Bourbon, which is a pet project of the Kroll family. So American Brick Bourbon is available right now at Total Wine and More across the country. So,
I have consumed a bigger bottle myself of that, and it's excellent.
I have my questions 1 through 5 or 20, and you've already moved to number 4.
Sorry.
I know.
Yeah.
It's Kroll. He understands. He understands.
He's
before we start reminiscing, there we go.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about Bally's and the season, end of the year. You had a great year.
Well, let me just say this. If you're in golf, you're having a hell of a year in the Northeast because I don't think we've had rain in about 25 weeks, which certainly brings up other issues and concerns with fires, and there are people that are struggling with the lack of rain.
Definitely.
But in terms of golf, it's been fantastic, and rounds are up, and the golfers in the New York City area are thrilled. Bally's Golf Links at Ferry Point, a Jack Nicklaus masterpiece, and one of the top municipal courses in the country. It's in the top 10 and the top 3 in New York State, and we've had nearly 30,000 rounds, and we're killing it. And people just love the place. It's in fantastic shape, even right now. After Thanksgiving, you can still play. So, anyway,
that's
good stuff.
Amazing.
And this is a Lynx,
golf is good.
A Lynx course.
Yes.
Can you explain exactly to our audience what that means?
Well, it was...
I was trying to explain to my wife, and I don't think it did a very good job when we were coming over the Whitestone Bridge.
Well, you could have a whole show dedicated to defining a Lynx golf course, but the bottom line is this... This feels like you are in Europe. This is like an open championship style golf course. There's not a tree on the course. It's been shaped. It was a former landfill. So thanks right. to Mayor Bloomberg and Donald Trump and Jack Nicklaus, it was converted into a masterpiece of a golf course. So what used to be a dump is now a gem.
And there you go.
I call it Scotland in the Bronx. Scotland in the Bronx. Nice. So it's fantastic.
And if anybody doesn't know where it is, actually, if you're coming from Queens, from the Met game or something, from Citi Field, from LaGuardia at JFK, over the Whitestone Bridge, it's right there on the right side. Mark and I have been there for a
while. And if you're flying into LaGuardia or Kennedy, you can see it. Yeah. By the way, the true meaning of links, I mean, to get back to your original question, it was golf, most people feel, was, in Scotland and a European start. But they went along the water with the first nine holes, turned, and came back with the second nine holes. And it was like links of sausage. Links so they
together.
Would go along all the way out, the first nine out, and then the final nine in.
Why Very do I good. Feel like I should be hearing bagpipes?
There you go.
Scotland, what?
Well, I mean,
you're eating sausage.
Oh, we got Bob Small.
Look,
we might come up
Small's
with those.
Looking.
I don't have any of those.
All right. You know, I often don't do this. However,
really?
Congratulations to my friend Mr. Brian Kroll for being named the Met Section PJ of America 2024 Patriot Award winner. Brian, that's huge.
Congratulations. Thank you.
That is true.
Can you tell our audience a little bit about that evening? Because it was pretty spectacular, I understand.
It was incredible, and I'm very honored to be the Patriot Award winner in 2024. A lot of great pros before me have been recognized with this honor, but I try and do what we should all do, and that's try and help the veterans and the military friends that are out there fighting for our freedom. And to realize that golf can help these people and literally improve their lives and in some cases save their lives, what golf has done with that program makes me more proud to be a PGA professional than any other program. And it's absolutely incredible.
That's tremendous.
Hope is Help Our Patriots Everywhere. If you want to find out more about the Hope programs and what we do here in the Met Section for our veterans, you can check all that out online. But HOPE is... just a great program for us to give back to the military.
That's tremendous.
Brian, the state of professional golf, Sean Adams is here tonight, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the legendary Sean Adams. He and I went to the Valspar down at Innisbrook back in March. We got to see some great golfers play. How is the state of professional golf in your eyes right now?
Confused.
Yes.
Very
That's a
confused.
Good word for it.
The one thing I'll say is professional golf at the professional level, these tours, I think it's confusing to the general public and even the golf fans, but golf as a sport is fantastic and strong and thriving. There are more people playing than ever, and it's great for the sport, but when you turn on the television, there's definite confusion about LIV players and the PGA Tour, and now they're changing to decrease the number of players in the field, and there are going to be limited Monday qualifiers, and they're making all these changes that seem to favor the elite levels of the field, and you're losing some of the storylines. Those Monday qualifiers, there's that cool idea of the players 100 to 150 that could sneak in there and be an underdog and win and change their lives. It seems like it's kind of heading more toward an elite, sponsor-driven world where they just want the biggest names week in and week out, and I think that's kind of sad.
Yeah, and it feels like we're having trouble finding that person to root for. Tiger, we all know, we're not seeing Tiger as much as we want to, but there are compelling figures in men's and women's golf. Nelly Kord is very compelling, I feel like. But who do we root for these days? Who's kind of the people's choice?
I think it's a great question, but you mentioned Nelly. I think the LPGA Tour is doing a great job of starting to take it to the next level.
I agree with that.
I think they're making some great moves. I think there are some events coming up here in the off season that are going to involve mixed competitions, but I think that's kind of exciting. I thought the Olympics was great for golf.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the Ryder Cup coming to Bethpage State Park in 2025, so I'm rooting for golf in general. But on the men's side, Scheffler, is as dominant as Korda is on the ladies' side.
But
McIlroy
we have
feels
trouble warming up to Scheffler, and that's the problem.
Yeah, McIlroy, I think, is that guy that you can warm up to a little bit more, and he just had a huge victory on the DP World Tour. And
now, see, this is where he always did this in the old days too. there's a thing called the clubhouse report. So sometimes Brian forgets about that. Yeah, and yes, of course, you just stamp.
I jumped the gun. I'm sorry.
My Renegades friends don't know about the clubhouse report.
Oh, you're in for a big treat. Yeah. Trust me.
This is their first show? Oh, my God.
I mean. But before we, because we're going to, we have Terry Henready join us.
Yes,
just
we
a few minutes before that, though, I do want to touch really quickly about the Kroll Family American Brick Bourbon. You know what? We want to hear about it. It's exciting. Give us a quick, you know. Well, and then we have a whole hour to finish up on that, but tell us a little bit about that.
Thank you for giving me the stage with the bourbon brand. It's an exciting project. It's really been inspired by my family's brick mold making business up in Ulster County. So back in 1872, there was a sawmill, and we turned that into a brick mold factory. And it was all the rage in the 1800s and early 1900s, but brick mold making has not been a sustainable business. So for the past 20 years, we've been trying to think, what are we going to do next? Mm. And it was my son who saw in the family records that there was a still in the basement during Prohibition. So
nice.
He said, you know, American brick bourbon sounds kind of nice, Dad. And I said, yep. Why don't we bring what was hidden under the floorboards up into the light? And that was the inspiration for this product. It's an all New York product, 4-grain bourbon, 92 proof. And
nice.
It is juicy and sweet. And I urge everyone to go to Total Wine and More and pick up a bottle.
And you got to love a family that had a still in the basement during Prohibition.
I mean, that's fantastic.
That's legacy right there.
You know, and it's an authentic story, and it's a family legacy story, because it's all in my... I worked in the factory, and my dad worked in the factory, and all the way back to Robert, who started it in 1872. So... it's really cool. It's a neat story. It's a patriotic story. American Brick
I would have thought the Jefferson
kind of ties it all together.
the booze history.
No, that's why we're good friends. We're very good friends with the Krolls. That's why. Kevin is a genius, by the way.
Yeah, Kevin's
and tell our audience real quickly about the Brick website, because the whole history is there.
Oh yeah, just search American Brick Bourbon on the web and you'll find it for sure. And we love the feedback that we get from the public. It's been exciting. It's won a bunch of awards from bottle design to taste, and we're really proud of it. It's going well.
Awesome.
So
tremendous. It's a great story.
Yeah. And it's nice to do something with your family. So for me to be working alongside Kevin, who is also at the Discoveryland Company property, cool. The Hills in Long Island, which, you know, if you've got a spare, 20 million Jeffers, you could pick up a property down there.
Yeah, let's go, Mark.
But Kevin and I doing that, and Wendy, of course, is the true CFO. And
hey,
got
yes, she
Casey
is.
And Christina also involved, well, so it's great.
Of course, awesome.
It's great.
The entire family. All
yes.
right. Rob, you have a quick
I have
read
something
for us?
To read.
There you
sure
go.
I do.
Let's go.
And then we can take a break after that. Friends, Splash in Bedford Hills is proud to be entering its 30th year of serving the Bedford Hills community. We offer a complete range of services for the maintenance of your car, including full-service hand washing, washing your car using thick, foaming soap and lamb's wool mitts. Allie loves that. We vacuum the interior. We wipe down the dash and door jams. Clicks loves that. All in less than 15 minutes with no appointment needed. I mean, I know his name is Mike, but we call him Clicks. Or opt for the super fast exterior express wash. You're in and out in no time. Plus.
There's more? Wait.
I mean, there's more.
There's more.
There's more. You can use our free self-service vacuums when you get a wash. Lori loves that. And there's our full-service oil change, which includes a 21-point inspection and a free car wash. Dan's in on that. We have all sorts of detailing services available while you wait all the way to our 5-star complete detail. What, I ask Sean Adams, could be more convenient? Your car deserves a better car wash and oil change. Splash, located at 570 North Bedford Road in Bedford Hills, and at the end of the copy we always say, Splash! We will take a break. 7:16, the great Terry Hanratty up next on the Clubhouse. 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com.
Today's teenager is tomorrow's potential regular customer. That's what the tobacco industry said about us. But what does it say about them? That they'll do anything to recruit new smokers. Like using menthol flavors to make products smoother and better tasting, so they're easier to start and harder to quit. In other words, menthol is not just a flavor. It's a way for big tobacco to attract and addict us. And there's nothing just about it. Take action at notjustmenthol.org.
Brought to you by Power Against Tobacco.
For 2 hours, every Thursday night at 6, listen in and even converse with the man in the know regarding all matters Greenwich. Listen to Sam Romeo's show, Greenwich Matters, brought to you by Parsonage, where their philosophy is to assist you in living life your way. And by Finocchio Brothers, we knows our business. From the beach to the backcountry, education, recreation, or politics, Greenwich Matters every Thursday night at 6 on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Welcome back to the clubhouse. Inside the hub at Hotel MTK, Mount Kisco, New York. Rob, Dave, Mark, Brian, Bob Small, the whole Renegades crew.
Cast of thousands.
And the very sponsor of the show about to come on.
There you go. It is a true honor to introduce Terry Hanratty, former quarterback from Notre Dame, Pittsburgh Steelers, and host of the wonderful sports podcast, Hanratty's Huddle. Terry, welcome back to the clubhouse.
I want to know more about that car wash.
Now, see, this is why. See, Terry is our promo. He's a promo king. How's the family? How's New Canaan treating you? Everything okay?
Everything is good. We're good. I'm handicapped every week with Rob and Dave, so that's a little chore in life. That's good.
Very true.
The podcast, I think, is going great, and we're looking forward to bigger and better things in the future here.
All right, before we dive into Notre Dame and Rob Steelers, and you mentioned it, we have to discuss your truly wonderful podcast, Hanratty's Huddle. I've got to tell you, these two guys next to me, they have so much fun, much more fun than the clubhouse, by the way, Terry. I listened to the Rocky Blyer episode.
That's true.
The Rocky Blyer episode, most recent one, it was amazing. And I know Dave has some questions on it, but can you just give our audience some insights into the show? Because it truly is amazing.
Well, Rocky's a great character. I mean, you know, we've been friends since college. He was a year ahead of me at Notre Dame. He was my captain when he was a senior and I was a junior. And, you know, I don't want people to forget what it was like for Rocky. You know, he got shot up. He still had, you know, shrapnel in his leg. And he came back from Vietnam. And no one knew, you know, how. Back then, you know, there was no podcasts, there were no ESPNs and whatnot. And, you know, everybody sort of had just watched the news, and we knew that Rocky got shot, and we didn't know how bad he was. But when he came back, he stayed with my family and I for several months, and we worked out together. And he really couldn't run. I mean, he could limp, real hard. And I kept telling him, why are you doing this to yourself? And Mr. Rooney had already told him, you don't have to do this. I'll send you to law school. I'll pay for everything. So it's all on me. And Rocky said, no, I want to do it. I want to do it. And I would have bet everything I've ever owned in my life that he would have never made it back, let alone he rushed for 1,000 yards 1 year when it truly meant something in 14 games.
Yeah, hey, Terry, it's your sidekick Dave here. And obviously, Blyer, you know, coming back from Vietnam and then catching a Super Bowl winning catch in the Super Bowl, which you talked about on the last podcast. But, you know, I love some of the stories we tell. And we had a call this morning, which you missed, by the way, and you're going to be fine. There will be a fine for that. So, yeah, too early. Yeah.
I covered for you, by the way, Terry. Don't worry.
No, so we are starting what we're calling Vintage Sports, and that's going to be a podcast with people like you from all different aspects, golf, baseball, football. And I think it's going to be an AARP hit, but there's as many stories that you've told on the podcast over the year that we've talked about with Rob, and the one I really loved was the Jack Lambert story in the locker room. Can you share that quickly with us?
Quickly, I don't know about quickly, but it's a good one.
All right, well,
everybody, you know, people know Lambert, Jack Lambert. He's one of the great middle linebackers of all time, and you know when he came into the league, you know, he was known as a real bad guy. You know, he'd go into bars and bust up bars and whatnot. And so when he came to training camp, it was almost like people were afraid to do anything to him. And normally rookies get harassed quite a bit for the first few couple months, whatever. And so I said, and I saw this stuff. I said, wait a minute, I got to put an end to this because I did most of the practical jokes myself. So I would say, wait a minute, Lambert, I'm a quarterback and I'm his teammate. He definitely can't touch me, so I'm pretty safe there. So you got to visualize a Pittsburgh Steelers locker room. which is a big square area. And, you know, and around the whole square are lockers. And my locker was the first one because I was number five, the lowest number on the team. So then they went around the room. So Jack was 58. He was sort of across the room from me. And so I figured, well, what can I do with Lambert? I went, looked up some. I saw a shoulder pads because the shoulder pads were above the locker. And when you, you know, pull it down and put them on and go out to practice. I went, ah, very good. I was thinking in my head, I got these two cups of water, put it under Jack's shoulder pads. I went back to my thing, and, you know, I get in early, so I wait for Lambert to come in. And he pulls the shoulder pads down, and boom, the water drops right in his head. Of course, he looks right at me, and I sort of nod at him, and he's just swearing like hell. And then so I did this for three straight days. And finally, I said to him, Jack, I said, you're too easy. I'm sick and tired of pulling jokes on you. I said, tomorrow morning when you come in, look under your shoulder pads. If there's water, you take them out, throw them in the trash, and put your shoulder pads on. Well, he comes in the next day looking at me just smiling, proud as a peacock. He got up on his little stool there, looked under his shoulder pads, no water. So he proudly put them on his shoulder and went out to practice. The next day, I caught him again. where he pulled the water down. It's sort of a time joke.
And it's good to have that protection as a QB, so...
Boy, that is for sure. Hey, Terry, it's Rob. Thanks for coming on tonight. And I have to say, you know, having rooted for the Steelers as long as I have and to get to know you, this has been, you know, really a great thrill for me. And for you and I to become friendly, it's just been an honor. But for folks who don't know in this area, explain the relationship the Steelers to the fan base and to that city of Pittsburgh. What do the Steelers mean to people?
Well, when I grew up 30 miles north of Pittsburgh, so I knew the Steelers by heart, you know, all, just growing up. And it was really a ragtag bunch of guys down there. You know, they couldn't win anything. For 40 straight years, the Steelers did nothing. So it was always the expression, SOS, same old Steelers. But you got to really pat Chuck Noll in the back, and he's the one that just did everything for the city of Pittsburgh and did everything for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Because he came in 1969, and that was what, you know, Joe Green was the number one pick. I was the number two pick. And a bunch of guys, John Cole was in that draft, and Elsie Green was in that draft. So Chuck started from there. And we took a beating his first year. We were 1-13. And if you look around the NFL right now, if a coach comes in and he's 1-13, he's getting fired. So you got to give the Rooneys a lot of credit for sticking with Chuck and knowing who they have as their coach. And so he just built that the way he wanted to do it. And the next year we're 5-9, then 9-5, and going on to the playoffs. You know, then and we won Super Bowl IX, Super Bowl X, and you know then we won a couple in the '80s. But Chuck did. And if you look at, you know, I always tell people, I said, you know, people should spend time, whether you're a college looking for a coach or pros looking for a coach, with the Steelers, because we've had three coaches in our franchise since 1969. I think the Jets, Dave's old team there, have had that in the last 5 years.
don't rub it in.
You know, they knew how to pick the right person. And each coach they had won a Super Bowl. So it's not like they had a big drop-off. There's been Chuck set the groundwork for the whole franchise and for the Steelers for the next 50 years. And they've been great. You know, they've been very good to great every year.
Yep.
Hey, Terry, this is Brian Kroll. I'm merely a guest on the show tonight, but it's nice to have a chance to talk to you. And I wanted to hear quickly your thoughts on another fellow bourbon maker, Mr. Terry Bradshaw. He has his own brand of bourbon out there. What could you tell us about Terry that would show us a little bit more to love about this guy?
Well, are you questioning whether you should love him or not? Terry is a good friend, and we've been friends for a lot of time. He gets a, you know, terrible, you know, he's probably the most underrated quarterback ever. You know, the guy won four Super Bowls, and he doesn't get any credit. Sort of like Chuck Noll won four Super Bowls, he was never named Coach of the Year. You know, we just sort of did it, and the team and the franchise just went along with us. But it was, Terry is his own animal. I mean, when he came into the league, he was just raw and rough. You know, I was a rookie in 69. Terry was a rookie in 70. So I didn't have a lot of playing experience. But, you know, Terry came in really raw. And there was one of the great ones of all time, the story we were playing the Giants in Yankee Stadium. And I can remember I went out there, we got went out for warm-ups, and I stood right on the right side of the, or the left side of the home plate. I said, man, this is where Joe DiMaggio. Then I jumped over to the other side, of, and I'm in my football gear. And I'm just swinging, pretending I have a bat in my hand. This is where Babe Ruth stood where, when he hit all those home runs. Then I went out and warmed up and whatnot. And Terry's in there, and we're in the first, we're late in the first, second quarter. And all of a sudden, he throws, you know, drops back, throws the ball down, down the middle, and Spider Lockhart. You know, we have like a minute to go, and Chuck had sent him in and said, "Listen, just run the clock out. Let's recoup at halftime and get everything straight." But Terry goes in there, he drops back to throw, throws the ball down the middle. I mean, the late great Spider Lockhart picks it off, and he comes off the field. Noel is livid. So I step in, being the ultimate cushion there, I step in between the two and make it nice. Then there's about like 30 seconds to go in the halftime, that first half. And Chuck says, "Get in there, run the damn clock out." And all of a sudden, Terry goes in there, he drops back the pass, throws the ball down the middle, and Spider Lockhart's right there again and picks it off, and they get a field goal. So they got 10 points in the last minute. And he comes off the field, and Noel is fuming. And I said, "I stepped in once. I'm not going again. I'm going to right to the locker room. Let them battle out."
And Terry's folks, great quarterback. For those
there's a lot of great stories out there. I mean, we had a lot of fun together. You know, he came to my house on holidays and, you know, Thanksgiving and whatnot. And, no, he was just he's funny as hell on the show. I worry about his weight. You know, I don't know where the hell he's getting all that weight from. But, no, he's good people, very good people.
And this is an example of what you hear on Hanratty's Huddle is these great stories, Mark. It's phenomenal. It really is.
I'm going to come and just watch the show
in
your studio because I think the studio is awesome as well.
Tomorrow at 11 a.m. at Connecticut State Norwalk, our partner, we have a partnership with Connecticut State Norwalk. Yeah. We'll be doing the podcast live. Obviously, you know, we're starting to get guests and Terry is very good, great stories, and this is something I feel is, you know, guys like Terry, and like I said earlier, we think there's a business here for us to build.
Absolutely. Yes. I have to ask Terry now about this place called Notre Dame. I heard it's an alma mater of Terry's, so.
It's a little
all right, my friend.
A little poor Catholic school out there in Indiana, and we just try to show up.
You may have been there once or twice, right, Terry? you've been there once.
Been there
or
several
twice.
Times, a few times. My son, he played there also. But it's you know, they're off to. If you throw out Northern Illinois, you know, we have a great schedule or a great record, but we got one.
You're currently number
road,
six in a playoff pool. What do you think? What's your thoughts? I think this could be.
I think
good,
we might
year.
Might be a little overrated at this point. I think only because we've had so many injuries on our offensive line, and you can talk with Rob and Dave, and I keep harping every week on the show the way you build a team is through the offensive line, and Notre Dame did that, and they signed a lot of great kids, but a lot of them got hurt this year for some reason. So we're down to bare bones now. So, but they're playing well. The kids are. The one good thing about injury is you get a lot of young guys into play, and that builds to the future. So I think that's what Marcus Freeman you can really rely on now.
Just remember, Terry, we'll let you go, but it's a great school and a great football program. Not the best fight song. I'm sorry. It's a Michigan one.
You're the only one that says that. Then now you're going to tell me the Jets are good.
No, I would never say that. I'm not.
You haven't had that many beers yet, Terry. No. But maybe by the end of the show. So, Mr. Terry Hanratty, I can't thank you enough for first of all for sponsoring tonight's show, helping us there, and also the Hanratty's Huddle. Where can our audience learn more about listening to this great podcast?
Dave and Rob are the best guys to talk to you about that.
I know.
You're sitting between them.
I knew it.
I figured they might be able to say that, but I want to give you that opportunity. But thank you so much for joining us on the Clubhouse. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Terry.
Okay, guys. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Thanks, Terry.
See you tomorrow. Get some rest.
I'm telling you, it is a thrill to get to know that man. He just has the best stories And again, this is someone I grew up reading about. He has two Super Bowl rings.
And he's so self-deprecating. He's
so self-deprecating.
And a national championship. I'm not sure why we don't just subtract the clubhouse report from tonight's show and talk with Terry Longer.
I kind of agree with that.
Why is Brian here?
You invited him.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
He played in what many call college football's greatest game.
Yeah.
The 10-10 tie.
That's right.
Michigan and
he can tell you stories about
State
that game.
Notre Dame, yeah.
Arab procedure, and yeah, now it's...
And the Hall of Fame coaches he played for, of course, as you just alluded to, and Chuck Knoll, and the way he speaks of Chuck Knoll, totally underrated, and I love hearing him talk about Bradshaw and being underrated, because sometimes we get him talking about Terry, and I'm like, uh-oh, he's going to ruin this myth I have of Terry Bradshaw, who is my favorite player.
Yeah. And I will tell you this, he should be in the College Football Hall of Fame.
I agree with you.
And I told him... Because I worked at the Football Foundation, which oversaw the Hall of Fame. Here are the things that are keeping you out. One, you played at Notre Dame. Because there are so many Notre Dame players.
Yes,
that's a good point.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
And two, you played quarterback. And there are so many quarterbacks in the Hall of Fame. So it's really unfair to him. He should be in. And we'll talk to our good friend Archie Manning, who's the chairman of the Football Foundation, because he should be in the College Football Hall of Fame. The guy finished two years in a row, he was in the Heisman Trophy voting. All-American. Come on.
Hanratty's huddle happened, folks, because Dave says to me one day, hey, would you want to come have breakfast with Terry Hanratty up in Wilton? And I went, are you nuts? Yeah. And so the three of us get together, Orem's Diner, have a lovely breakfast, and Terry's going, yeah, I want to do a podcast. And that's it. It was that right there.
You know, your Steelers pom-poms in Jersey didn't hurt either.
Well, no, so. That didn't hurt. But, that was one of the things I said to Terry was,
he's a good guy.
How's your relationship with the Steelers? Yeah. It's phenomenal. I'm invited back all the time.
Yeah, no.
How's your relationship with Notre Dame? Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
There you go. There's our show right there.
Yeah. And, he's like a link back to that powerful presence of, the gridiron when you start thinking of the tough guys, the Butkus.
Yeah.
If I had more time, I would have said, what are your thoughts on these touchdown celebrations? Because they make me want to puke.
Well, he's got opinions.
He's got opinions.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You really want to get him going?
Oh, these choreographed things, it's just so painful to watch.
Get him going on NIL.
And by the way, he tells a great story about Butkus playing against Dick Butkus.
Yes, he does.
Coming out, and they were in the end zone. The only safety he ever took in his life, high school, college, or pro, was being sacked by Dick Butkus. But he said he comes up to the line, he looks across the line, and he sees Butkus looking at him with those big white eyes. He's like, he says, I've never been scared. He's like, oh my God, this guy's going to kill me.
They did kill each other back then.
It was brutal.
Right.
Sure
Different
did.
Game.
Would you like a break, sir?
I think so, because then I think we have some guests that we want to bring on.
Yes, we
do. From our table in front of us.
Yes, we do. And we're going to do that right after this. We continue on the Clubhouse from Mount Kisco on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com.
Big Tobacco's customers are dying. But instead of pulling their products off shelves, they're using menthol flavors to recruit a new generation of smokers. Menthol makes products smoother and better tasting, so they're easier for us to start and harder for us to quit. In other words, menthol is not just a flavor. It's a way for tobacco companies to attract and addict us. And there's nothing just about it. Take action at notjustmenthol.org.
Brought to you by Power Against Tobacco.
Greenwich has its own sports talk program. Doubleheader weekday afternoons at 4 on 1490 WGCH. Join me, Rob Adams, as we talk about all sports, high schools, youth sports, college, the pros, and anything else. It's your show, so let's make it interactive. It's lively and it's fun. Call me at 203-661-5051 and be a part of it. That's Doubleheader, weekdays at 4 on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere. It's 7:35. We continue on the Clubhouse from Mount Kisco. Rob, Mark, Dave, and by the way, 2 weeks from tonight, let's not forget,
we need to talk about that because I have it here in my notes.
Very important.
We're going to have our annual Community Center Northern Westchester food drive. It's going to be live 6 to 7, but people can come here from 6 to 8. We're going to collect cans, donation for the Community Center Northern Westchester food pantry. There'll be drink specials here at the Hub. I know Teddy knows about that already.
Yes, he does.
There'll be a great local sports guest, trivia contest, and fun for all. Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays in 2 weeks.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho.
So, yeah. And you know what? And Bob's going to have some great songs in between our coming
he
up.
He always does.
I know.
Great Christmas songs.
It's a fantastic way to kick off the holiday season. Show your support for the community center and have an incredible night here at the
Woo-hoo.
Pub.
So bring canned foods, canned goods if
yep.
you can. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
And exactly.
These guys sitting out in front of us, some of them, if we haven't scared them off already, they may be back in 2 weeks.
I hope so. So speaking of which.
Yes.
I understand because we had this pre-production meeting, and they were actually sort of involved.
Sort of.
And so first of all, we're going to talk, and we have some Renegades folks there. But I think what we're going to start off with is your Greenwich football broadcast partner, Mr. Dan Murphy. Dan, how are you? Welcome to the clubhouse.
Gentlemen, good evening. How are we doing?
So wait a second. We're going from the Steelers to what?
Greenwich football.
Okay. Greenwich football.
Yes.
All right, just making sure.
Yeah.
Try to keep up, okay?
There you go. Well, I like it. So how's Greenwich football this year?
Greenwich is coming into this week 8-1. Got a big showdown coming up at the Staples on Thanksgiving Day. Pretty exciting Class LL race for the playoffs. I would say it's wide open. Any one of the top six teams, you could argue, has a shot to make it all the way to Rensselaer Field and win a state championship this year. So it's been a lot of fun covering the team this season and looking forward to the stretch run. And, of course, the playoffs are right around the corner.
And may I say, I did not call. I was not the play-by-play announcer for Greenwich's last game against the West Hill Vikings. He was.
Yeah, some other loser was.
So let me ask you this question, Dan, because you know we've had some, you know, we've had Brian Kroll, you know, who's been with me in the clubhouse, and now we have you, Dan, working with Rob, who I've worked with a long time. Do you have probably more fun working with Rob than Rob has working with me? So I'm wondering, where am I, like third in the totem pole of fun?
Oh, never. Oh, lower. Never. That's not
you're,
possible.
You're much lower than that.
There
yeah.
you go. I know.
Wow, that was cool.
But he is tremendous, right, working together?
He's a great mentor figure. And I came into this season not having any real broadcasting experience. I didn't do it at all before I knew him. But I had always been curious as to whether I would be good at it. Because, you know, I've watched sports all my life. You know, I'm a football, baseball fan just like you guys are. So I was always curious to know if I could do the job if I had a mic in front of me. And Rob has been a great partner to work with. You know, to have the experience that he has, you know, to be able to, you know, pull me aside and be like, hey, you know, you're doing okay, but maybe you could work a little bit on this, you know. But yeah, he's been great to work alongside.
Explain to people who don't know, because I didn't know you were interested in being a broadcaster, but you, me, Sean, we're up at a gathering a couple of years ago in Buffalo, of all places, at a minor league baseball game, and you say to me, just sit down and practice a game with me, because I want to try it. Explain how that happened.
So we were sitting at the whatever the name of that
Salem
stadium,
Field.
Salem Field in Buffalo.
Yeah.
And we had a luxury suite, and we were just sitting. I think it was you, me, and Sean. We were sitting together, and
a bunch of our friends. Yeah.
And I knew that you had done play by play for years, and so just sort of as a little fun activity, I thought it was like the sixth inning or something like that. And
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know what, Rob, why don't we do like an inning of play-by-play in color? Like, we'll do like role play. Like, you do play-by-play and I'll do color or whatever. And we did it for like an inning or so. And you can speak to this more than I can, but you were apparently impressed with the chops that I had.
I actually was, you know. We did this half inning, and we had people standing over us mocking friends, but they were making fun of us, and he's hanging in there, and we don't have microphones in front of us. We're literally just calling the game out in front of us, and things are getting out. No, I'm kidding. Things are fine here.
Brawl.
Yeah, exactly. But Dan did impress me, and so when Chris Irway last year opted to walk away from Greenwich football, I was like, why not? So Dan came in, and there we are.
By the way, luxury suite in Buffalo are an oxymoron. Just throwing
it's
that
a
out.
Good stadium,
no,
I have to say.
No,
but you're right.
For a AAA ballpark, it's actually very cool.
Yeah, it's actually very cool.
Buffalo is at the Anchor Bar. My son was just up there this weekend. I told him, home of the original wing. Buffalo is actually a pretty cool city.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is.
Yes, and I went to college there, so that's my
Where'd
connection.
Where'd you go?
To UB? UB, yep.
Okay.
So that's my connection to
I
that
got
place.
You. Okay. Oh, very good.
Well, all the noise is because Steve Iola's in the audience, and it's all that noise that he causes corruptions in the.
Yeah, it looks like he's a troublemaker.
Hey, yeah, there is that.
So let's talk. Should we talk a little bit about should Dan pass the mic to a couple of our Renegade friends, or
they
we
don't
continue
look like
on?
They're interested. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's a very dull.
Let me say who is here.
All right.
Mike is here. We call him Mikey Clicks. I call him Clicks. So he's here. He doesn't want to get on the microphone. Allie is here from the Renegades as well. My cousin Laurie is here. And then we mentioned Sean, of course. And we're tired. We're all tired. Everybody knows Sean.
Yes.
Hi, Allie.
Hi, Rob.
See, Allie has no fear when it comes to the microphone.
We have been here before.
That's
there
right.
There you go. And you'll be here in 2 weeks for the food drive. There you go.
Allie has worked for the Renegades for a long time. Right? How many years?
A whopping 7 years.
Yes. Wow. So 2021, I'm the play-by-play announcer back in the Stone Age. And Allie would just stop. I got to know her that year. She would stop in the booth. Do you need anything to drink? Anything like that. And one night, one of the last games of the year, she stops in the booth and I went, put that headset on. And she came on the air and did, I think, a whole inning with me, if I recall.
I did. And we talked a little bit about everything.
I know.
Sports.
There you go.
Life growing up.
That's right.
Rob has let me get on the PA a few times.
That's right.
In this past year, I've made it to a live broadcast for just how I pronounce the name Anthony Hall.
Very nice.
The most New York way I guess ever heard in baseball.
There you go.
So the Renegades had a player named Anthony Hall, and Allie decided to New York it, and Anthony Hall came to life.
How do you spell that?
H-A-L-L, believe it or not.
Could be worse.
If it's me, it's H-A-W-L-L.
That's what I would have said. Exactly. I need a W in there.
W. I think there might have been a U in there as well. I'm not sure. I lost track after a while. But, you know, these guys are like family to me, all of them. So I'm so grateful that they came out here tonight. And we'll have maybe another knucklehead or two come the 4th.
There you go.
There you go.
Fishy.
Very cool.
Yes. We'll get Fish down here. We were all out doing, well, I didn't do karaoke, but I was out with them at karaoke the other night, which I may still be having nightmares about.
Oh, boy.
You got up there for a little bit.
Yeah, because you pulled me up there to stand next to you on some Carrie Underwood song.
Well, come
that
on, you
I
gotta
was,
sing.
I was comic. No, I was comic relief. I made fun of the song while I was standing there.
He did wonderful. Okay. Don't let him pitch you.
If you're going to do karaoke, you got to do Sinatra. That's all.
Oh, that's a good point.
All right, so this reminds me of when Cole and I started the clubhouse.
How so?
Because we were all very nervous. I was probably particularly nervous.
You had wireless microphones back
probably
then?
Particularly.
No. We pulled the string really tight.
I was going to say, as
cups,
Brian would say, we had a string in two cups.
And it was good. But I want to ask Mr. Kroll as I transition over. Yeah, again, this is my new book coming out, Transition.
Good job, Mark.
I know. But I want to ask him what he most enjoys. Because, you know, Kroll, as much as we joke about him, do you like to teach? Do you like to broadcast? Do you like to write? Or do you like to play golf?
Ooh.
Or.
Wow.
Well, you know what? It started with love of the game and playing golf, and then it transitioned into helping others enjoy the sport, and you know, then it went on to talk to the general public about the joys of golf. So there's just sort of a transgression, so to speak, a transition, so to speak. But I love the broadcasting side too, and it's fun to watch you help Dan, and there's that feeling of working as a team that's so important, trying not to step each other, trying on, you know, to make sure that it all kind of clicks and flows. And there's a chemistry there that it seems like you guys have. So that's all
There's
good
no
stuff.
Better day for us when the Masters comes on, the week of the Masters, and Jeffers sends the text, turn on CBS Sports Network, and you turn it on, and there's Brian Kroll from the...
It's
so great.
An incredible
so good at that.
Honor to be able to be on that CBS team for the Masters. This would be my 15th year.
Nice.
Which is pretty cool. So listen to featured groups.
It's so good.
Listen to Masters on the Range.
Truly.
It is so good. I get so excited to not only listen to you, Brian, but to listen to Michael Breed, who I worked with for many years, and It's great. It's just phenomenal. You guys do a great job with
it. Think of what you're doing with Hand Ratty. You know, it's like you're part of history. You're calling these moments that will be remembered forever, and it's a very special week of my year, that's for sure.
No question.
That's awesome.
Are there any, like, stories that you can briefly tell us about one of the, you know, working on the range?
There's
a 4-hour show on this. I understand that. But, I mean, is there a quick one before we go to break? Because, you know, your favorite part of the clubhouse is coming up.
Uh-oh. I can't wait for this. I really can't.
But give us a quick...
I will tell you that knowing as many of the PGA professionals and the coaches that I know, in addition to the players, I happened to be there, and Michael Breed and I were both on the call with Scheffler warming up early in the week when he was having some very heated conversations with Randy Smith, his longtime coach. And it was that moment in time when we knew the putter issue with Scheffler was going to turn. And sure enough, about a month and a half later, he switched to a mallet. Things started to change, and he is now the Scotty Scheffler that we all knew he could be.
But he wasn't in handcuffs then, right?
No, this was... prior to the jumpsuit. Prior to the jumpsuit.
What a bizarre story that was. Would you like a break?
We should take a break and then have the band warm up.
I was going to say, my friends don't know about the band. The band will be here to perform in just a moment. Way. We are getting ready for that. The Clubhouse Report is next on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com.
Today's teenager is tomorrow's potential regular customer. That's what the tobacco industry said about us. But what does it say about them? That they'll do anything to recruit new smokers. Like using menthol flavors to make products smoother and better tasting, so they're easier to start and harder to quit. In other words, menthol is not just a flavor. It's a way for big tobacco to attract and addict us. And there's nothing just about it. Take action at notjustmenthol.org.
Brought to you by Power Against Tobacco.
Everything but politics. That's what my show is about. Hi, everybody. I'm Debbie Nigro. What am I about? I'm about resilience. I'm about attitude, a lot of heart, and definitely a sense of humor. And I've heard that people feel better after listening to my show. I always look for the light in the dark, and I give you hope everything's going to be okay in your day. Delusionally young, outrageously fun, I book dynamic, upbeat guests. Check it out. 11 a.m. Eastern Time here on AM 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
.749 with you on the Clubhouse from Mount Kisco inside the Hub at Hotel MTK. Thanks to Teddy for keeping us going, and thanks to these guys for keeping us laughing. And now the band is assembled. The conductor is fired up. He is mad at me because it's taken this long to get to this moment. Conductor, please. Dun, 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 dun.
The Clubhouse Report with your host, Mark Jeffers.
Good question.
That's a great question.
Thanks, Rob, and welcome to the Clubhouse Report.
Yes, indeed.
Well, let's start on the ice. Last night, the New York Rangers defeated the Vancouver Canucks 4-3. The Rangers play Calgary next on Thursday night. Dave's Islander lost to the Flames last night 2-1 and headed to Detroit Thursday to play the Red Wings with a 7 o'clock faceoff. The New Jersey Devils also play on Thursday evening, hosting Carolina with a 7 o'clock start. The Rangers looking good, David.
Rangers looking very good. They're a good team. It's a long season. Yeah. Injuries can happen. They have some injuries now, too. The Islanders have a bunch of injuries. So you just got to, you know, just wait it out, see what happens.
Rangers look very sharp. Devils look good, too.
They do.
I don't have a problem with the way the Devils are playing. By the way, quick mention, there's that Game 7 series over on Amazon Prime. Yeah. I watched the one about the Rangers in 94 last night.
Yeah.
Oh, baby, that was good. Yeah, it was good stuff.
Good to know.
And by the way, the Bruins, I don't know if this is in their report.
Oh, yes.
The Bruins fired their coach, which is kind of surprising.
Yes, they did.
All right, the Danbury Hat-Tricks are proud to welcome Colin Cosell as a celebrity guest public address announcer for the Hat-Tricks game on this Saturday, November 23rd at 7 o'clock against the Binghamton Black Bears.
Could that be a relative?
It's his grandson.
Is it really?
It is.
It's my grandson. He has a preponderance of stuff to talk about.
I got to tell you.
You are the Rich Little of the radio now, I think.
Young people don't know who Howard Cosell is.
They really
don't. If you
walked
into my classroom, any of my classrooms at Manhattanville, and said, who is Howard Cosell? They would.
Well, I'm so glad we clarified that. That's
there you go.
go.
That's key.
That's key. That is
Cosell. Well, Colin Cosell is a very good guy, PA announcer for the Mets. I've actually exchanged messages with him. We're supposed to have lunch one of these days, but really good guy. And that'll be fun for them at Danbury.
Awesome.
There you go.
There you go.
Over on the hardwood, the New York Knicks are out west in Phoenix tonight to play the Suns with a 10 o'clock tip-off. The Brooklyn Nets beat Charlotte 116-115 last night and travel to Philly on Friday to face the 76ers with a 7 o'clock start. You know, the Knicks are starting to gel.
Knicks are going to get better. I think they'll be fine. But the Nets, when you think about it, when they're like this in this rebuilding phase, they're as irrelevant a pro team in New York as I've ever seen.
Pretty much, yeah. The NBA Cup, though, is a joke. I'm sorry.
NBA Cup is a joke.
It's like, come on, guys. Really. Yeah. I mean, like, come now on. This game counts towards the Cup. It's like, stop. Yeah. Stop the madness, Mark.
All right. We're going to turn to some very sad state of our New York football teams.
There we go.
Oh, God.
The Jets lost a heartbreaker to the Indianapolis Colts 20-27 and have a much-needed bye week coming up. In other Jet news, general manager Joe Douglas has been fired. The Giants are coming off their bye week with a new starting quarterback, Tommy Cutlets DeVito, taking over for Daniel Jones.
Tommy Cutlets.
As the G-men host the Tampa Bay Bucks on Sunday at MetLife Stadium with a 1 o'clock kickoff. We could just move right along if we want to.
No, I think this needs to be addressed. What a sad state of affairs. I feel badly. As a Jet fan, listen, the Giants are no better, but the Jets are the most dysfunctional sports organization in the world. And I'm glad. I'm actually glad that it's happening because people see that Woody Johnson is a dope. He's a fraud. He's a guy that's never made a buck in his life, but he's a multi-billionaire who bought this team. And it would be like me coming into millions of dollars and buying Bally's and telling Brian, this is how you got to run your club. And do this and do that. You know, order this, order that. Teach it this way. Teach it. The guy is a dope. He has no right saying anything to anybody on the football side, and until he sells, I'm done. I am done with this organization, and I'm so upset that my son actually roots for this cluster, you know what, of an organization.
I'm not comfortable with this level of trash talk.
I'm sorry.
I thought it was a professional show.
I'm starting to sweat over here myself. But
it used to be in that. Now you're not on it. You could all just follow. I mean,
wow.
Now I have to say, we have a Cowboy fan in the crowd, and we have Dan Murphy, the Titans fan, who will now speak.
Yeah, I left my paper bag at home.
I got plenty for you, Dan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Dan. We may have plenty for you. Not to worry.
Biggest disappointment from a New York team in recent history. Is this Jets team that?
No question.
When you consider the expectations they had going into the year, I was a dope because I picked them to win the AFC East this year. So,
no, you're not a dope. You just, you know.
I thought they were a playoff team.
Listen, it's actually good that it's happening because he's been exposed. This article in The Athletic that came out shows exactly what he's about, right? So
all the meddling and all that stuff that's starting to come
out.
Who
would take this job? Who in their right mind would take this job?
Somebody who's
a
first-timer.
And how the hell did you become a Titans fan? I mean, you go to UB and you...
We can go into that story.
Oh, no, that's all right. That's okay. Off the air.
Long story.
In the college football polls...
Yes.
The Oregon Ducks hold on to the number one spot, followed by Ohio State Texas, rounding out the top three. And we didn't have time to...
I thought Miami was third.
No. Texas. But the question I was going to ask Terry, which you ran out of time for, is the Ducks... He likes the Ducks to be number one. But I'm not so sure I like the Ducks as number one.
I'm not so sure the Ducks are going to be number one for the rest of the season, but...
You got to remember, they play... I mean, if you're out there, you're going to be playing a weaker schedule. You're not playing in the Big Ten. You're not playing the SEC. You're not even playing the ACC, so...
But you can easily get exposed come playoff time.
Right, you will be exposed at some point.
I agree.
And by the way, not even related to the playoffs, but Army-Navy is going to be off the charts this year.
Absolutely. Yeah, Navy's falling back a little
bit.
Army is very good.
This weekend.
Yes, and the Army-Navy uniforms came out today. They're on social media.
Awesome.
They
look always great. A great game.
Oh, I love it. It's the best.
Army is Notre Dame.
Yes, that's right. Army-Notre Dame at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, exactly.
And, Mark, I think the Syracuse Orangemen have clawed their way into the top 120.
Yeah,
they have.
Yeah.
No, we're bowl-bound.
I think they play Rhode Island next.
We're bowl-bound.
Strong favorites over Canisius.
But here, But here's the big news. Even Brian may remember how much we enjoy this story. In Major League Soccer playoffs.
Oh, boy.
You're not going to believe it.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
But yes. The New Jersey Red Bulls are playing the NYFC at Citi Field on Saturday in the Eastern Conference semifinals.
Wow.
Wow, that and is. And you wonder why they're playing at Citi Field.
Why?
It's because Army is playing Notre Dame at Yankee Stadium.
You're darn right.
Oh, there you go. Over on the links, Brian, you may have heard of this. Rory McIlroy ended his slump with a two-shot victory, which you already mentioned, at the DP World Tour Championships in Dubai. On the LPGA Tour, you probably also mentioned this, Brian. This is why we're still together, though. Yeah. Nelly Korda fired a 300 par 67 to win the Annika in Florida for her seventh LPGA Tour title this year. And by the way,
so
right?
Good. Historic.
It is.
Yeah.
Golf is still happening.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. And Nelly Korda, she's awesome. Getting big time commercial stuff. And yeah, it's great to see.
She's good for the game. And
she's very good for the game.
And we've got some cool things coming up with the Hero World Challenge and the PNC, the parent child, we'll call it now. But these are fun events that Tiger Woods is going to be a part of. So
we're
looking forward to that.
Awesome.
And that, my friend, will wrap it up for this week's Clubhouse Report.
Yay.
Rob, back to you.
I mean, arguably one of your best ever, if not the best ever.
No mention of Tyson and Jake Paul? I mean, I
lost money on that damn thing.
Jeez, that was a snoozer. No, I waited up until 1:30 in the morning to be bored to death.
Brian, they're still...
It's a pillow fight.
They're still fighting.
Yeah. There was a lawsuit filed today against Netflix, by the way, a class action lawsuit. So if you pay for it, you might be getting your money back.
Oh, boy.
All right. We are running out of time, but we still have a little bit of time. What do you want to do with it?
Well, I want to should thank our guests here.
I mean, these guys are the best. I said they're family to me. Dan and Clicks and Allie and Lori, who I'm literally related to, and him, whatever his
small
name is.
Small footy hit a track, but they're actually applauding.
Yes, they are.
Guys, it was so great to have you on tonight. I really
thank you, Dan.
It.
Thank you. Great to be on your show.
Mr. Kroll, give some parting words.
No, just
where can we learn more about Brick? Which we want to know.
Total Wine and More or American Brick Bourbon online. But thank you, guys. It's really been great. And to be able to mention Bally's Golf Links at Ferry Point is great. PGA of America, PGA Hope. Couldn't be more proud to be a part of this little team tonight.
Bob Small, any automotive stuff we need to talk about?
No.
And we got through a whole show without mentioning Juan Soto.
No, but
yes,
David.
Yes, we did.
But David, Juan, we need to talk, Soto. Being Vintage Sports and Hand Raised Huddle.
Sports.
Thank you so much for that.
Hand Raised Huddle on Spotify. You can find it, Google Hand Raised Huddle, and you'll find us.
In 2 weeks, we will be here for the Fantastic Way to Kick Off the Holiday Season with the food drive.
Ho,
ho,
ho.
Hey, who are you going to ho?
We will see you back here in 2 weeks for that very show, so we look forward to that. We thank Terry Hanratty, Vintage Sports, Hand Raised Huddle, Brian Kroll, of course. For Sean, Lori, Allie, Clicks, Dan, I'll see him on Thanksgiving, Bob Small, Brian Kroll, Dave Taromeo, Mark Jeffers, Sean Kilkelly in the studio, I'm Rob Adams. That'll do it for the Clubhouse from Hotel MTK in Mount Kisco. Join us 6 o'clock on December 4th. But for now, from the Hub, good night, everyone.